What's up, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Retired Mosher Podcast. I am your host, James Brizuela, otherwise known as the Retired Mosher. I had this entire plan for my first episode. I wanted to be entertaining. I wanted to be funny. I kind of wanted to go back in time and tell everybody listening a little bit about myself and my journey into listening to heavy music and how it relates to the mosh pit and the name of this podcast. But honestly, I need to kind of change things around a little bit. I recently went through a life-altering experience, which is a life-altering experience that many people have experienced in their lives, unfortunately. That life-altering experience is loss. I feel right now that it's only right for me to address this and kind of offer this first episode as a tribute to any and everybody who's ever experienced a deep loss. I myself have been dealing with loss for the past almost 4 years now, and it's certainly taken a toll on me. This most recent one, which I will get into a little bit later in this episode, has been kind of fucking me up, and it's supposed to. Nobody's ever experienced loss, has ever just been able to handle it the right way or the correct way. Nobody does. Everybody experiences grief and loss and pain differently, but it's something that's shared. Everybody loses somebody at some point. Most people lose somebody at some point, unfortunately, and that's just the way that life goes. But having a structure of people that care about you and have your back, it really means a lot. And that's kind of what I wanted to discuss as well in this very somber episode. But again, I just feel like this is something that I need to talk about. I did want to go back in time in my first episode, and that's kind of what I'll be doing right now. So starting in the year 2020, right before the pandemic kicked off, which everybody knows how fun that was the first time that I lost somebody close to me. Well, let me take that back a little bit. I lost somebody that I wish I was close to. In January of 2020, my grandfather, which is my mother's father, passed away. It really struck me at the time because I never really got to establish a relationship with the man. I talked to him a few times on the phone growing up as a kid, but I never made it out to Florida, where most of my mom's family lives. There's some in Colorado and there's some in Florida, and it really bummed me out. Like, I never knew him really, you know, I never had a relationship, and it kind of really sucked that I didn't, because when his obituary came out, I found out all this amazing facts about his life, and I cannot even believe that my grandfather lived such a life. I do want to read a little bit of his obituary so that way you guys can get a deeper understanding about his life. Like, it's so interesting to the point where I want to write a book about it. Eventually, I will write a book about it. I'm not sure if I'm going to go the purely historical route or do historical fiction. I did write a short story about him that was inspired by his life in college, and it went really well. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know if that's the route I want to take with it. But basically, it's quite incredible. So I'd like to read a little bit of that right now. All right, so let's get into this a little bit. His name is Gene. I won't say last names to protect, you know, my family and people who maybe don't want this, you know, to get out in a way. I don't know. Whatever. Let's go. So Gene was a U.S. Marine serving his country as a machine gunner in the Korean War. He earned a Purple Heart. Gene cut fire lines in California with his Native American family, helped build the Alaskan pipeline, was known as Squint with the original Hell's Angels, conjured a demon as a warlock, raised thousands of rabbits in Liberty, worked on both sides of the law, and worked as an offshore cook on oil rigs. Because of that, he could not cook for just two. Wes and Gene picked bar fights, left him with a few teeth, but great stories. Gene loved going to yard sales and restoring old John Deere tractors with his brother Omer. But the most important day of his life was actually a night working at the LP Lumber Mill in Lockhart, Alabama. And what is an amazing testimony, he met Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, in February of 1993. This changed his life so much, even his voice and look were different. He was surely born again, a new creation. Now, let me go back a little bit to the simple fact that my grandfather served in the Korean War, and from what my mother told me and I've heard is that he, on three separate occasions, was the last surviving member of his unit. The entire unit got wiped out, and he was the only one left alive. Three separate times. Like, this man fought to the bitter end until he couldn't. You know, there was a story that I was told that he was found because they were bulldozing bodies for cleanup or whatever, and he put his arm up. Now, this is what I was told. You know, I don't know how factual or not factual that is, but regardless, like, this is amazing. And he helped build the Alaskan pipeline with a Native American family. So I have a belt buckle that my mother gave to me that has a headdress and gems on it, and it's incredible. And it was gifted to him by this Native American family, and now I have it. I'm not a belt buckle person, but if I did wear belt buckles, this is the kind of buckle I would wear. It's so, you know, magnanimous. It's incredible. And my mom told me that he used to practice black magic and he conjured a demon as a warlock. Like, dude, how is this man lived such a life? It's so crazy to me. And then he worked as a detective, including being one of the original members of the Hell's Angels. So from what I was told, anytime that you've seen a movie that's featured a biker that has a spike on top of their helmet, that was my grandfather's invention. He was the first person to do that for the Hell's Angels, and I think in the entirety of the biker gang, you know, organization, if you will. And anytime you see that, that was literally brought on by my grandfather. Like, I'm telling you, people, this is a crazy life that was lived. And I was driving to a friend's house a couple days or so after my mother told me. She ended up going to Florida for his service, and she sent me a video of him being wheeled out of the hospital where he passed on, and the entire staff honored him by going to the front of the hospital and watching as his casket was taken out, and they played Taps. And, you know, my mom was crying, and I saw it, and I started crying because I was like, man, like, what an honor for a fucking badass. Like, this guy lived such a great life, and I can only hope that I can do the same. And so anyway, I was driving to a friend's house, and I just started crying. And I started crying, I think, mostly because I was kind of upset that I never got to know him. But it was weird. I just felt this sort of connection to him, even though we only spoke a few times on the phone and I never got to meet him face to face. I don't know. It just, the fact that he was gone, I felt something. And that was in January of 2020. And that was the beginning of kind of these last few years. So I want to transition into the pandemic. So the pandemic was hard on everybody. It was especially hard on me. Full disclosure, I have breathing issues at night. I have what is known as sleep apnea. So when the entire world shut down, I started panicking. And it was the first time in my life that I actually experienced anxiety. I was so scared that this respiratory illness that was being talked about or being presented the way it was going to get me. And I had a really hard time leaving the house. I worked for a brewery at the time, and because it was a very public job, I ended up being laid off in March of 2020. We couldn't deliver beer to people in public. So naturally my boss laid me off, but you know, they were just waiting until things calmed down to bring me back. During that time, I lost a good friend. Her name is Christine. Again, I will not say her full name, but she was a great friend. We've known each other since high school. She ended up messaging me, I think, on Facebook after high school, and we reconnected, and you know, we became pretty good friends. We talked all the time. She was a big Denver Broncos fan. I'm a big Miami Dolphins fan. So naturally, a lot of our conversations were talking shit about each other's teams, and messaged practically every single day. And she was a very, very strong-willed person. She was very sure of herself, and she didn't need you to go out of your way to tell her anything about herself. Like, she knew who she was, and she was very, very genuine in that. And that's what I love the most about her. You know, that's what I miss. I think about her often. And unfortunately, I found out through her best friend, a mutual friend, that she had passed away on Instagram. It's never great to learn through social media that somebody you truly care about has passed on, but that's just kind of the way of the world. We share a lot of our lives, a lot of information on social media, and that's just the way it is. So I found out, and I instantly messaged her best friend, my mutual friend, and she told me, yeah, I'm so sorry that you had to learn that way. I asked what happened. She filled me in, and the tears started. And it really, really sucked because I was already in a really tough mental state because of the pandemic, like everybody was. We were at home. I didn't know what was going on. I was scared to go outside. I was scared to go grocery shopping. And then I lose a really good friend. And it really, really affected me. Really, it took me a long time to not get over it, but come to terms with it that she wasn't going to be there. And I started reading our messages on Instagram to one another, and she had messaged me like 6 days prior, and I was wondering why she didn't message me, because she always does. Like, she's always like either one of my stories or a post or whatever. She's always just poking fun, which is like what I think most good friends do. They always poke fun at one another. And I hadn't seen a message from her in 6 days, and then obviously it clicked, you know, she had passed on, and it really sucked. Christine was a very genuine person that I truly miss. I think about a lot of times when the Broncos are playing, and I wonder what she would have said or how she would have felt. Dolphins just dropped 70 points from the Broncos earlier on in this past NFL season, and I so badly wanted to message her. I wanted to talk shit, because that's the second most points ever scored in an NFL game, and oh, it would have been so sweet. And it made me laugh, you know, because I know she would have, like, you know, she would have deflected, or she would have been like, yeah, whatever. But it would have been a great moment for both of us, and that would have been that. Missing out on that option kind of really sucked, and I wish it could have happened. I wish that I could have texted her. So I was definitely sad, brought on that sadness that she wasn't here anymore. I still think about her often. I think about the memories and the shit talking, and honestly, it makes me laugh. It makes me really happy inside, even though I'm sad that I can't do that any longer with her. So yeah, I would say late last year, I'll transition into my next one. Late last year, I lost another person that I cared about. The brewery that I just spoke about that I was working for, I worked for them for nearly 3 years, and they are all great people. They are incredible people. And honestly, like, if it wasn't for me transitioning to becoming a professional writer, I probably would have still been at the brewery. I still would have been with them. It was a great company. They treated me very well, and they still treat me well. When I go in for a beer, I practically never pay, because they're like, no, you work your ass off for us, so like, we can easily give you free beer or it's whatever. So the supervisor that I worked for, again, not using full names, the supervisor that I worked for, named Brian, he is the one that offered me the job. So when I went and interviewed, I was working for a third party exhaust distribution company as a delivery driver. And it was just a job. I held that job while I was working full time there, and also going to school full time at community college, because I wanted to get my degrees. And it was a job. My boss there was awesome. Super awesome. He was kind of a bit of a degenerate gambler, but he was a good dude. So it was funny. Like, we would go and watch, he was a big football fan as well. We would go and watch games together on Sunday, and then we'd show up Monday a little bit hungover, and he knew, and he wouldn't make me do a whole lot, because he knew that I worked really hard the rest of the week. So he was that kind of guy. It was fun to work for him, but you know, it was just a menial job. It didn't mean anything, and they paid okay. So I ended up wanting to work for a brewery for a long time. I have a friend named Mike that had done so, and I was like, man, I would love to, because you know, I'm a big beer drinker. You can see from the logo, I have a beer in it. So I had tried to get into a brewery job, but it just didn't really pan out until he had alerted me that the brewery that I ended up working for was hiring. So I went and applied for their delivery driver position. I didn't really think anything of it. I applied and I went about my life. About 2 weeks later, I got an email that they wanted to interview me, and I was so excited. In fact, I was about to see Depeche Mode with my good buddy Leo, and we had just sat down, and I got the email. It was probably maybe 8 o'clock at night or so. We were sitting down, I believe it was at the Forum, and we were just about to watch Depeche Mode, which I was already excited about. Then I get the email that I'm going to be interviewed for the job. I was so excited. I go and do the interview. It goes really well, in my opinion. And then I leave. And I'm like, man, this would be really great to get this job, because they seem like good people, and this seems like a great brewery to work for. So lo and behold, about a few days later, maybe 5 days later, I would say, I was actually at school, and I get a call from Brian. I pick it up, you know, and he's like, hey, man, it's Brian. I was wondering if you want to work for us. And I was like, absolutely. And I was so excited. So I gave a week notice at the job I was at, and then I ended up working for that brewery. So obviously, I got to know Brian and everybody that worked for the brewery for 3 years. And Brian was a good dude. He was such a good dude. Like, he was just not a judgmental guy. In fact, like, he was a country music lover, and that's a lot of times they would, him and the other guy, Jeremy, that I worked with, they were both country music fans, and they knew I hated country music. So on Fridays, they would kind of tease me and put country music on when I would come in. And so I'd be getting deliveries ready for the day, listening to country and just being like, oh, come on, man. But Brian obviously did that as a joke, even though he did enjoy the music. It was just his way of, like, hazing me or making me feel like I was part of the team in a way. But he asked me often, like, what kind of music I listened to. And I told him I was a big death metal fan. I was a big metal fan. And he was like, I don't even know what death metal is. I mean, he knew, like, you know, Pantera and Slayer, bands like that, and he liked them. He would often put that kind of stuff on. And I'm like, hell yeah, you know, it's thanks for humoring me and allowing me to listen to music that I like. But one day he was like, dude, just show me some death metal. It was me and him. I think we both got there like 7 o'clock in the morning every morning. And he was like, show me some death metal. I was like, all right, sure. So we had Pandora on the computer system for the brewery so that way people could listen to music when they were drinking. And also put on music in the mornings for us when we're working. So I was like, all right, cool, like, here, let me find a channel. So I ended up putting on Flesh God Apocalypse. Flesh God Apocalypse is a little bit more of a symphonic death metal band. They're very heavy, but they also have a lot of elements of traditional classical music. They have an opera singer, and in terms of death metal, they're like one of the more beautiful death metal bands. But still, I was like, let me go with this and see what he thinks. Within 10 seconds, he's like, all right, turn it off, and we laughed. But it was great, you know. It was he still wanted to know. He wanted to connect in that way and find out A, if he liked it, and B, like, what does it really sound like? And not a lot of people do that. People will just listen or hear you say a genre and not even care to listen to it because they automatically know they're not going to be into it, which is fine. Or they just don't want to listen to it. They don't want to give it a shot, which is also fine. That's their prerogative. But Brian was the kind of guy, like, he at least humored it. He wanted to know for himself, like, is this something I can listen to? Is this guy crazy? Whatever the case may be. But he made it 10 seconds into Flesh God Apocalypse. And yeah, he was like, turn it off. I was like, that's fair. But, you know, it was great. And so actually I would tell him about band names, and one of the greatest laughs I got from him was when I told him about a death metal band named Infant Annihilator. He laughed so hard. Mind you, Brian was a father of two small boys, and that's just another quality that I really appreciate about people that can laugh about life, because obviously the band Infant Annihilator is a huge joke. They're not annihilating any infants, you know, but it's just the name of the band is so hilarious. And that's kind of like a lot of death metal bands. It's a lot of bands in general in the metal side. They have really funny, like, stupid names. But so he loved that name, and he would laugh so hard when I brought them up. And so anytime they dropped a new song or they dropped new merch, I would show him, like, hey man, your favorite band Infant Annihilator's got some new stuff out. And he would just start cracking up. He ended up telling his wife, and she just shook her head and laughed too. But, you know, that's the kind of guy Brian was. So Brian ended up passing away, and it was the third person in 3 years essentially that I lost. And I went to the memorial at the brewery, and it was very beautiful. A lot of tears, a lot of hugging, and it was great, but it sucked. I was like, man, I lost my grandfather, I lost Christine, I lost Brian, and then shortly after that, my grandmother passed away on my mom's side as well. So both grandparents on that side are now gone. Both grandparents on my father's side are gone too. I don't have any living grandparents, sadly. But my grandmother, I was close to when we were younger. She lived with us for most of my early life. So I had a lot of great memories with her. She was getting old, and, you know, I knew that. My mom would often call me and let me know about her health. She was late 70s, early 80s. That's generally around when people start end of their life, the twilight years, as they call it. But my grandma was hilarious. I honestly think I got a lot of my personality and a lot of my sense of humor from her, passed on to my mother and then to me. So last time I saw my grandmother in person, I was in Colorado. I think I was probably around 25 years old, 26 years old. It had been a while since I've seen her. But that last time, we ended up going to the home where she lived at, and I just wanted to give her a hug and, you know, tell her that I love her and I missed her and all that jazz. And I did, and it was great. We had some laughs. So I told her, I was like, you know what? I promise, Grandma, I'm going to see you again. And she was like, oh, honey, don't worry about it. I'll probably be dead before then. And she just started cackling, and I started laughing. And then I was like, damn, that's morbid. But that's, again, that kind of personality that she had, that we all have, really. And it's one of my favorite memories. My mother called me and told me that she passed away. And again, I was very sad. Again, another loss. 4 people within 3 years. It's not easy. It's not easy anytime. It's definitely not easy when it continually happens to you. And I know multiple people that have experienced some deep loss recently in the last few years, and just in general. You know, it takes a while for everybody to kind of get through this loss, get through these losses. Everybody's different. Everybody mourns and grieves in their own way, and it takes people time to get over those losses in their own way. We're not all the same. So that brings me kind of to the secondary point of why I wanted to record my first episode as a tribute, A, to the people that I've talked about, and B, to this person right here. It's not even really been a week since I found out one of my best friends passed away. Her name is Monica. I found out on a Sunday morning, and as I'm recording this episode, it's a little bit after that. and it really rocked my world. I'm not going to get over it. It hasn't really fully sank in, but I felt it was only right to kind of talk about her in this episode. And again, dedicate it to people that I've lost and to her. She was a very special person. I wrote a tribute to her on Instagram. And these words just ring true. Ever since I met Monica, I met her in high school, which for me is nearly 20 years since I graduated. It's been a long time. But I met her when I was, I believe, a junior, and she was a freshman. Initially, I was annoyed by her. She was so obnoxious. She was so loud. She was so in my head. I mean, when you're younger, you're quick to judge people. You don't know any better. It's a base value. You give them a base value, a base judgment. And that's just until you get older and realize that's not what you're supposed to do. That's just what you do, right? But she was introduced to me through a mutual friend. And I was like, oh my God, this girl is so annoying. She had a very, in my opinion back then, she had a very like try hard personality where it was like, look at me. But that's just who she was. And it wasn't a look at me kind of thing. She was just that person. She was extroverted as hell. She was not shy. She would let you know how she felt in that moment, and that's who she was 20 years later, and that's what I loved about her. 20 years later, she's still the same exact person that I met back then when we were teenagers. She wasn't trying to be look at me. She wasn't trying to make herself the spotlight. She was just a person that knew herself. She didn't care who she was around. She didn't care if she met you the first time. She would show you her true self. Honestly, there's not many people in this world that I've met that are as genuine as Monica is. No matter what, like I said, the first time she met you, if she found out that the person she was meeting was important to somebody she cared about, she immediately brought them in. That's just who she was. She wanted to make sure that everybody felt the same love and adoration that she treated everybody with. She did that all the time with every single person, and she was so chaotic and wild, but she was so caring and beautiful. And honestly, I'm truly gonna miss that. I'm truly gonna miss her personality, being around her, and it really sucks, man. I've spent this past few days or so thinking about every single memory that we've had, every single experience that we shared, and they've all been special. They've all been incredible. I was sharing a story with a friend of mine, a mutual friend of Monica, that I'll share with you guys now. So we were big fans of a band called The Spill Canvas, who's an emo band, so I know that I'm gonna get a lot of shit for that, but you know what? It's all right. I am a metalhead. I do like heavy music, but there are some softer bands I like. I know I talk shit a lot about the emo genre. Shout out to Alex Webster. She will eventually be on this podcast, and I know she's probably going to laugh at this part and kind of give me shit because I constantly make fun of the emo band she listens to, but hey, what are you going to do? So anyway, me and Monica were big fans of a band called The Spill Canvas, who we've both been listening to since high school. So when she found out, she was like, what, you listen to that band? I do. And fast forward to a few years ago or so, they came around, and she surprised me with tickets. She's like, we're gonna go see The Spill Canvas. And I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, yeah, let's go. We went and they played at the Roxy and we had such a good time. Like, they were just so incredible. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs in between sets during the songs. And the lead singer just kept laughing. Like, he was making it through the songs, but I could tell he was laughing at certain parts. And it was great though, but that's just the thing. Monica was that type of wild personality that you didn't want to get in the way of. You didn't want to dim it. You didn't want to tell her that she couldn't scream or she's being annoying or whatever. She just let her entire inhibitions out and just screamed and had a good time. And in that night, in those moments, it was pure. It was just pure happiness and pure joy. After the show, we ended up going to the Rainbow Bar and Grill. This is in Hollywood. The show was in LA. And we ended up drinking there and randomly ran into Ron Jeremy. This is before all of the... He went to prison for being a fucking scumbag, but he was there that night. And it was so random. We just started talking to him and we ended up hanging out with him and drinking with him. And then the night just got weirder. We were there at the Rainbow. We were drinking. We were having a good time. Run into Ron Jeremy. And all of a sudden, she's like, hey, he invited us to the after party. I was like, what? What is happening? What is going on? So we ended up going to a different part of LA, kind of Hollywood, I guess. You know, I was already kind of drunk at this point, and I don't remember exactly what part of LA we ended up at, but I will tell you that it was a car lot. We get out of our Uber. Let me back up. We get out of our Uber, and Monica ended up leaving her phone in the Uber. She had two phones, one for work and her personal phone. The one that she left was the personal phone. So she ended up getting She had the contact info for the guy that dropped us off on her work phone. That's what she used to call the Uber. And she called him and she was like, hey man, he took off. And she was panicking because all of her personal pictures of us, of her dog, of everybody was on that phone, personal phone. So she was like, I need that phone back. Oh my God. Like, we'll go to the party, I promise. But can we do this? And I was like, absolutely. Like, why would I say no to that? Like, get your phone back. So we literally waited, you know, quite a while. I would say anywhere from between 45 minutes to like an hour for this guy to finish up the rides he was doing to get back. And she was like, I promise I will tip you really well. I just want my phone back, please. I left it. And he found it. He ended up coming back and she ended up tipping him really well. You know, Monica knew how to play the game with people, like whether it was Uber drivers, whether it was taxi drivers, whether it was doorman, whatever. She knew. She was like, come on, I'm going to give you some money and you're going to allow this to happen. So we ended up getting her phone back. And we're standing outside of a car lot, like a used car lot. You know those janky car lots that you see that you're driving? When you're driving through the city, you kind of see them. They're not like, you know, a Ford or a Honda lot. They're just these janky lots that pop up everywhere that kind of scuzzy businessmen have. You know what I'm talking about? This was the kind of car lot it was. And she's like, we're here. And I was like, here where? Like, what is going on? She points to a door in the corner of this car lot. It couldn't have been more inconspicuous and weird. And there was a symbol above the door. It was such a Hollywood thing. It was such an LA thing. If you've ever seen an LA movie that details LA and they make it seem like you're just going through these underground places, this was that. I'm not even kidding you. And there was a doorman standing there, this big giant dude in a black suit. And she's like, go ahead, walk up. And I was like, okay, what do I say? She's like, just walk up. So I walked up and the guy looked at me and then he opens the door and we go inside. There was a hallway that opens up to this big room. There was a stripper pole in the middle of the room, a bar, and the most hodgepodge of people in there. There was this dude that I ended up talking to with a mohawk, and he was from England. Us, Ron Jeremy, and a bunch of random people. We ended up staying there pretty late into the night. I would say anywhere from 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning, and just drinking. And afterwards, we go back to her house. She wanted to go to another party, and I was like, dude, I'm so done. Like, I can't do this. Like, I can't hang. I want to go sleep. So we go back to her apartment and I pass out. I wake up the next morning on her couch and there's eyelashes stuck to the wall. I took a picture and I send it to all my friends and I was like, yep, this is how you know you're waking up in Monica's house. She just has eyelashes everywhere. It was really funny. And that was just one of the nights I spent with her. And I share that story just because that was kind of what you were getting yourself into when you hung out with Monica in LA. And it could be something like that, or it could be something so mundane as like we're just at a restaurant drinking and eating and having a good time and then we leave. But you never knew what you were getting. But it was always so incredible because we were laughing and smiling and sharing stories of the past and people watching and meeting random people. And then all of a sudden they would be with us partying. And that's just the way it went. And that's what was so incredible is Monica had this power to kind of bring you into her world and you stayed there. And it was never dangerous, and it was never that something crazy bad was going to happen. It was just chaotic in the sense that you never knew what was going to happen with her. But you were so prepared to go on that journey with her. And it was just incredible. I always felt safe around her, and she always felt safe around me, as well as the rest of the guys that know her, my good friends. That's just the way it was. We always watch out for each other. Monica was so quick to pull money out to make sure everybody had a good time. And again, this isn't to kind of flex this image of her that it was just all about craziness. It was just the fact that if she cared about you, she wanted to make sure that you had a good time no matter the situation. She would take the clothes off her back and give them to you if that's what you asked her to do, just to make sure that you were taken care of. She was so caring and so genuine in that. And I'm gonna miss that. I'm gonna miss her so deeply. That's kind of why I wanted to record this episode. And I know it's not a ha-ha type of episode or what I really had planned, but I hope that these stories that I've shared were entertaining in a sense that, like, you got to hear about some pretty incredible people that I've known in my life. And I know for a fact that many of us know these types of incredible people that you have in your life right now. Some of them have passed away. And I just wanted to say, I hope all of you find some solace in knowing that you were alive at the same time these people were alive. And all of those experiences that you have and the memories that you have with them can never be taken away. Those are yours forever and ever. Think about them often. Bring them up in conversation if you'd like to. Obviously, there's memories that are personal that people don't want to talk about, and that's fair. But talk about these people. Keep them in your hearts. Keep them in your memories, because that way they're never truly gone. These people are gone from this, you know, mortal plane, if you will, but they're not gone because they're always going to be remembered. They're always going to be thought of. They're always going to be talked about. I myself have not stopped talking about these people. I have not stopped thinking about them. Even my grandfather, who I said that I didn't really know, I think about him often, and I think about his life often. I think about this obituary often, and it's so incredible. I will eventually get to the point where I'm going to write a book about his life, because if you remember what he did in his life, like, how could you not want to know more about that? That's all I have. I know this is a very tough subject to hear about. I know this is a very tough subject to talk about, but I just felt it was only right to bring it up in my first episode. I wouldn't have felt right carrying on with this podcast like everything was normal when it's not. I will get to the more happy-go-lucky episodes, the more entertaining episodes, in the sense that I do want my second episode to kind of be what I wanted my first episode to be. But again, this is a special occasion. Rather, it's a special episode honoring all of those people that I've lost. And I want to honor all the people that you guys have lost. Whoever's listening to this, I want you to know that you're not alone in your loss. Everybody experiences it. Everybody goes through it. And we're here for you. I'm here for you. Everybody's here for you. Lean on the people that you care about in these tough moments, because honestly, they will be there for you. I hope they're there for you. And if they're not there for you, get yourself some better friends or some better people in your life that will be there for you. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to this first episode. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Thank you, everybody. If you can do me a favor and follow me on Instagram, I'm at Retired Mosher Pod. I will be posting all of my updates on there. I'll eventually start a Twitter account, but for right now, I'm going to keep it to Instagram. So please, if you enjoyed this episode, however somber or sad you think it is, please continue to follow me. Please continue to go on this journey with me. I assure you, this is probably going to be the only sad episode I record, but there was some light in here, you know, some funny stories. I hope I made you laugh. I hope I gave you some sort of semblance of togetherness in my loss and the loss that you've felt and experienced in your life. But please follow me on Instagram. On Instagram at Retired Mosher Pod. This first episode will be distributed to all major podcast platforms. So please, if you listen on Spotify, rate it high. I don't even know if these podcasts get rated on Spotify, to be honest with you. But I know it does on iTunes. So please give me a 5-star. Give me a review so everybody can see this and everybody can start following me. I promise next episode is going to be vastly different. But this episode is a tribute to all the people that I mentioned. And it's a tribute to everybody that's been lost in your life as well. Thank you so much. This is the Retired Mosher signing off.